We'll next move into our committee meeting for June 26. The agenda has the Academic Affairs Committee and the Finance and Budget Committee. We will start with Academic Affairs. Chair Bale.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and we have all of our committee members present today. As listed, we have Regent Ball, Regent Brinkley, Regent Ernst, and Regent Porter here. I'll start off with a few comments about our earlier meeting and all of the meetings that have been occurring over the last couple of months. I was fortunate to be able to be part of the Academic Restart Committee, and again, I want to compliment that group, which was chaired by Dean Murphy, consisted of a lot of faculty and staff and at least one student representative. And, you know, the work that these people did, I was very impressed with. They put a lot of thought and effort into it. And it speaks to how important everyone feels about higher education. Because I'm in the healthcare field, I see so many parallels. And, you know, the one thing that we can't do is stop. We've got to proceed on. Higher education for these students is critical for the rest of their lives, just like healthcare is. And the real strength of Western Kentucky University as a bricks and mortar institution are those relationships that get formed between faculty and student and student and student. And what's clear to me is everyone wants to try to preserve that experience as best as we can. And I've always been really impressed with the face-to-face interactions that students at Western have been able to enjoy with their faculty. And certainly going forward, some of that is going to have to be sacrificed, we know, but I hope that we can hang on to as much of those relationship-building experiences that make Western what it is. And then I reflect on the work of the last few years, as we saw demonstrated this morning with the budget process, the curriculum process that's happened, and it gives me the feeling that we, better than most, are going to be able to deal with the challenges not only over the next year, but even when the demographics come into stronger play not too many years from now. And the fact that our freshman class looks like we're going to add to it, and because without enrollment and without students, we don't exist. And so I applaud everyone for the efforts that have gone into putting us in a position to deal with what we're dealing with today. I appreciate being able to make those comments. The Academic Affairs Committee has four action items, three of which involve certificate applications. Let me also say that we have and are requesting some time at our retreat so that we can go over what the new process of approval of these certificates entails. I think we'll be able to give time for regents to better understand that and to ask questions that go into the gray data and the analytics. And Provost Stevens and I have talked about that and think the retreat will be a good time to spend a little time on that. We'll deal with each of these action items individually. So the first item includes approval of a graduate certificate in data analytics. Provost Stevens, I don't know if you'd like to make a comment or have anyone who would like to say anything about that.
Yes, thank you. Regent Bale. I do want to, since you mentioned a process for certificates, I did want to point out that the three certificates that we have on the agenda this morning are a result of the CAPE process. Beyond that, Rihanna Plemons in my office has pulled together a group, representative group of faculty, to discuss the certificates in general and to talk about what it really means to have a certificate, what the value is that it brings, and how you tie it to employers and skills development. This group has begun that work, and they're looking at what other institutions like us do, but we wanted to put some structure associated with the development of new certificates in place, and so we're doing it professionally and with standards, and that will be presented a little later, I guess, maybe at the next board meeting. The certificates that we have in place this morning, the first one is for a graduate certificate in data analytics, and I believe that Ray Blankenship, the chair of information systems, is here to talk about that. Ray?
Okay. Thank you for having me. I would just say this is a timely certificate, given what everybody's seen with COVID-19, the demand for students to know how to take data and interpret it and to make it visual so that it's easier to interpret. It's something that students have been coming back for to get an undergraduate certificate. I've had students even that have earned an MBA that came back to get an undergraduate data analytics degree. And so I think it's timely that we offer this to students who already have a degree, and that'll help them in their jobs going forward.
Okay.
Thank you, Ray. Anyone have any comments or questions? I did read an article just this week, and of course there's been an explosion of virtual telehealth visits, and the need for analysts for that data apparently is huge, so that we can find out really how it's working, if it's working, what it works for, and what it doesn't. I was impressed with the salary range for these people, but they're clearly going to be valuable assets to lots of different organizations. So anyone have any questions for Dr. Blankenship?
Yeah, I have a comment, and this actually is referring to the first two items here on the agenda. I'm not an expert in this field. However, when I sort of just looked at the topics there, it appears to me that this ought to be something which could be done interdisciplinary. And so in both of these proposals, it says there are no relationship to other programs within the university. And so I took the liberty to just go through some course listings. And so, for example, computer science has graduate classes in data mining and tools, database management systems, advanced database systems, security and computing. Even geography and geology has a class in spatial data analysis. And so it looks to me like that there should be room to work with certificates like this interdisciplinary. I may be wrong, and Ray, maybe you can tell me where I'm wrong with that, but it seems to me these certificates could be strengthened if they would be interdisciplinary.
I think we've created them so they could be stacked credentials or used as concentrations in other programs. Currently, they're being offered as a concentration in the MBA program, but we've also discussed using them with an accounting program. So, yes, they can be used in other interdisciplinary programs, and I think that would aid the students in those programs as well. We've also discussed using these certificates and the courses in the Homeland Security program in Ogden College.
Okay.
Let me follow up on it. But you believe that these courses all ought to be housed in the College of Business. There is no other courses you could accept in other departments.
I believe going forward, the certificates would be in the College of Business, and then if we were ever to do a master's program, that we definitely could use interdisciplinary courses from other areas.
Good questions, Klaus. Good points. And I think any of these certificates that prove to be very successful can evolve in different directions, then, is what I'm hearing. Any other comments? Questions? If not, I'll call for a motion for approval of action item A1.
Move to approve.
Second.
Have a motion by Regent Ernst and a second by Regent Brinkley for approval of the graduate certificate in data analytics. Any other comments or questions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, like sign. Action item AA1 is approved. The next action item is approval of the graduate certificate in cybersecurity data analytics. And Ray, I believe that's your domain as well.
It is. And so I would just say this certificate has also been designed to be a stackable credential and used with other programs. And like I said, the Homeland Security program is something we'd like to work with them in Ogden College. I guess if you're not familiar with this area, you can think of this as the intersection of cyber operations and artificial intelligence. And so, again, it's very timely, and as you saw with the beginning of this pandemic, there were Zoom security issues that happened right away. Well, how do we train people to handle those security issues, to predict if there's going to be security issues, and how to respond to those security issues? And so from a business perspective, that's what we're trying to do with this certificate. And also, you know, combine it with the use of data analytics.
Any questions for Ray or other comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion for action item 2.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second.
Have a motion by Regent Ernst and second by Regent Brinkley to approve graduate certificate in cybersecurity data analytics. Any other questions or comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
With all those opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Thank you, Ray.
Good Thank presentation. You. Appreciate it.
Our last action item is for approval of an undergraduate certificate in floodplain management, another timely topic, I think. Provost Stevens, any comments or introductions there?
Yeah, this has been a long time coming. Warren Campbell's been working on it for a long time. It began as a minor, and through the CAPE process was recommended that it become a certificate program, and Warren's here to talk about it.
We have a real problem with floodplain management in this country right now. In particular, in this year, I think the COVID has ironically presented a unique opportunity to have a graduate certificate that would appeal to working floodplain managers, because, you know, a lot of people that work as floodplain managers would like to have, you know, this certificate, but they haven't been able to do it because the courses are not taught online. Well, we've had an exercise in learning how to teach courses online. In the United States, every community that participates in the National Flood Insurance Program has to, by law, designate a floodplain administrator. They ought to want that person to be an educated professional. And there are only about 11,000 certified floodplain managers in the United States. Only about 38% of those are local officials. So there is definitely an opportunity in that area. So we have COVID that's causing some problems. We're going to have a more than active hurricane season. It's going to be very interesting to see how that's playing out, and it would be very good to have more educated professionals and people who have knowledge so that local community leaders would be able to make better policy decisions based on good information. And that's what this certificate is aimed at.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? I think we are living in a world where we're seeing that science does matter, and between the COVID and other things like this. So appreciate this presentation. And we'll entertain a motion for its approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second.
All right. I'm going to give Regent Ball the second one on that, David.
I'll withdraw right. My second out of all respect.
Right. So we have a motion by Regent Ernst and a second by Regent Ball for approval of the floodplain management certificate. Any other questions, comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our last action item includes a couple of emerita appointments. So, Provost Stevens.
Thank you. We have two. Dr. Dawn Bolton, who was an associate professor in the Department of Management in Gordon Ford College of Business, served at WKU for 27 years. Her breadth of service included division chair, assistant vice president for the provost under Barbara Birch, the director of the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. You know, I know Dawn personally, and I've watched her since I've been at WKU. She did an incredible job with the Center for Entrepreneurship because that's where I knew her from mostly. Her students were so well prepared. She was able to work with them. She spent numerous hours, so many hours working with them. And they went to competitions where they always came out winning. It really represented WKU well. She was very student-focused, very student-centered, and I think she left a footprint on that program that will be hard to beat. So I have no hesitation at all and fully support Dawn's appointment as an emeritus faculty member. The other is Dr. V. Vandermeer, who was a professor of physics and astronomy. Dr. Vandermeer had a distinguished career at WKU as a member of the physics and astronomy faculty for 30 years. He was very highly regarded by his students, taught across the physics curriculum, but particularly was passionate about biophysics. He was essentially their expert in biophysics and put significant effort into developing curricula, into developing materials to support that program, and always wanted it to turn into more than what it was, which was a service area to support pre-meds. He left a hole when he retired, I believe, in the biophysics area. So again, I'd like to wholeheartedly support the appointment of Dr. V. Vandermeer to an emeritus faculty position.
think those are two great examples, again, of what is at the heart of Western Kentucky University, which are professors who can develop those relationships with students and affect lives. So these sound like two worthy people. Any questions or comments from anyone else?
I want to make a comment about Wee Vandermeer. He reminds me of how old I am because we arrived at WKU in exactly the same year. And one of the things I wanted to point out, Wee is passionate about chess. And so for many years he was their faculty advisor to a chess club at WKU.
Well, very nice. All right. If there are no other comments, I'll ask for a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Have a motion by Regent Ernst and a second by Regent Ball for approval of the two emeriti appointments. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Those are all of our action items. Provost Stevens does have one informational item that she would like to tell us about.
There has been a request from the Department of Geology, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. My apologies, Fred. The Department of Geography and Geology, to change their name to the Department of Earth, Environmental, and Atmospheric Sciences. The policy has recently changed such that these types of requests come up through the academic chain and rest with the president. But so that y'all don't have to vote on it, but we thought it would be a good information item to share with you so that you understood where this was coming from and why we're doing this. Fred Sievers, the department chair of geography and geology, will give you a brief rationale for why they want to do this. Fred?
Thank you. Cheryl, good morning, everybody. We are very excited about what we are up to or what has been going on in the Department of Geography and Geology really for the last year and a half. We were heavily involved in the CAPE process, and through all that, it became quite clear that the name of the department, Geography and Geology, really wasn't reflecting all the amazing things that we are doing. We do geological sciences. We have a new program that was approved by this board last month in environmental sustainability and geographical studies. And we have a really strong meteorology program that has never had any kind of recognition in the department name. And so we got together, worked hard this spring to come up with a new name that really reflects these areas, geological sciences, really the environmental side of things and the atmospheric and meteorology side of things, and came up with a new name. And we're excited about it. We got some good approval in Ogden College. We reached out to other areas at the university. And we have touched base with alumni and stakeholders and have received, this is just by email, some very strong support in 10 emails back to me that President Caboni, I will share with you just to give you a sense of who is behind what we are doing. It includes some very distinguished alumni of this university. And we're quite excited to share that with you and to continue to build our programs and market things, because we think that this is going to be a boost to enrollment and it will give us much more recognition for the kinds of things that we are doing.
Yes, President Caboni.
Regent Bale and Professor Sievers, thank you so much for your work. I think this is a wonderful example of what we always knew would emerge from the CAPE process. And as difficult as that was to go through, self-analysis and self-critique hopefully creates stronger outcomes and stronger programs. And as someone who has had firsthand experience of Our meteorology program, the work that our young people do alongside with our faculty, and the great example of applied learning that occurs in that program, I commend the entire department for being creative and flexible in finding a place for everyone and crafting something that I agree, Fred, is going to attract ever more interest and more student subscriptions. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Very good. Any questions?
Can you repeat that new name? I sort of...
Certainly. It is Earth, Environmental, and Atmospheric Sciences.
Thank you.
Very good.
We need to find a way to abbreviate it. EEAS or something. We'll figure all that out.
If you put an E on it, it could be easy.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Any other comments or questions? If not, Mr. Chair, that concludes the business of the Academic Affairs Committee.
Thank you, Chair Bell. Thanks to the Academic Affairs Committee. Next committee item is Finance and Budget. Chair McKinney.
Okay, we only have one item on our agenda today, the approval of the personnel actions presented in your packet. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the personnel actions?
Jason, I just want to point out one thing to the committee. After we sent the information out to the regents, we realized that there was an error on the report. It was just a technological glitch in the system. A professor in education, Dr. Joe Kanjimi, was listed as having five payments, and actually it was for prior years. He only received one payment. So I have given Julia a clean copy of the new report, but I just wanted the regents to be aware of that.
All right. Thank you, Susan. Anybody else? Okay. Hearing no discussion, I'll entertain a motion to approve FB1.
So moved.
Second.
All right. We have a first and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Like sign? All right. The motion carries. And that's all we have for the Finance and Budget Committee this month.
Thank you, Chair McKinney, and thanks to the Finance and Budget Committee. President Cabone, any comments as we wrap up our committee meetings?
Well, this marks the end of my third year as the 10th president of the university, and I have to say no one could have anticipated what the year that we've had, but I could not be more proud and pleased of the work that we've all done together to manage through something that was unthinkable just 6 months ago. The spirit of our faculty and our staff, the commitment of our students, and the willingness of everyone to work together, to pull together as a community, to get through this together has been remarkable. And so I remain privileged and proud to lead the university and thankful for the work of our leadership, our faculty and staff leadership, our student leadership, and for the regents. We will come through the other side of this in very good shape because of the work that we've done. And I'm thankful that we managed to not increase tuition on the backs of our students and our families, that we're all sharing in thinking differently about the work that we have to do. And at some point, we'll emerge on the other side of this and thankful in some ways for the experience. Let's hope it's only once every 100 years, though.
Thank you. Well said. Any regent have a question or a comment? Thank you for your service. Appreciate all the efforts and all the hard work, and most importantly, your dedication to our university. If there's nothing else, we will adjourn the committee meeting, and we'll see everyone at our retreat August 6 and 7. And again, open invitation to suggest ideas or topics for discussions. Good morning to everyone. Be safe. Happy 4th of July. Thank you.
Thank you.